Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for March. Oh my gosh, I have no idea what day it is.
19th.
March 19th. And I should have known that because tomorrow, the 20th, is World Happiness Day.
Which you all have on your calendars, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know, because you were probably selling St. Patrick's Day yesterday, or did the day before
which is
yesterday.
Not Happiness Day.
That is not Happiness Day. That's
you might have fooled yourself into thinking that it's
happy. But you were not happy. So tomorrow is World Happiness Day, and I wanted to mark the occasion by
Where does that come from? Who tells us that it's World Happiness Day?
I think that it's the UN, because they publish a World Happiness Report.
I can't think of any organization more equipped
to make people happy
than the United Nations.
Well, I do look to them when I'm trying to be happy. Yeah, when I'm sad.
What's the latest UN report say about the status of global poverty?
Well,
is that what you do when you're sad? You go.
Yeah, when you're sad, you go there. Well, we are the U.S. ranks 18th among the world's countries with an average life satisfaction, which I guess is also known as happiness, of 6.88 on a scale of 10. But every year since 2012, when they began doing these reports, we've fallen in the happiness ranking.
Do you know who ranks higher than us? Who are we up against? Who are we losing to?
I'm not sure because...
That's very unpatriotic. People should go out there and be happy to beat off the other countries.
I would have to download the whole... Okay, I'll push download.
America.
I don't know how to find out the ranking. It wouldn't tell me. But I thought that the article that I read, which I'm going to link, has a lot of important information about happiness that I wanted to share with our listeners.
Yes.
I can't find the ranking.
Okay, the UN report finds that Finland. No, it's cold in Finland. It's really cold.
But that's what makes them happy. You don't understand. People who are cold are happier than people who are hot. Because when you're thinking of happy countries, and you think of Finland and Brazil,
right.
Clearly the Finns are happier than the people in Brazil. Obviously. If you were going to go on vacation, you would not go to Rio de Janeiro to dance on the beach and drink pina coladas. You would go to Finland.
To the ice hotel.
To be with the Finns, the Finnish, in their icy domain.
Yeah. The ice hotel isn't in Finland. Where is it?
I think it's in Norway? Sweden.
Sweden, okay. That's where we would go.
We would go to the ice hotel because we want to be happy.
You only pay $1,000 per night to sleep in a room.
Made of ice.
Kept it below 18 degrees, I think it is.
Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Fahrenheit. So all night long.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you big coats, though. So that
well,
makes
no,
it all
they
better.
Wrap
and then someone
you
comes in
a...
in the middle of the night. Or in
no,
middle,
in the morning,
morning.
They wake you up with elderberry
gives you,
juice.
Right.
Not coffee.
Give me hot coffee.
Elderberry juice.
I want your elderberry juice. I'm paying $1,000 to spend the night in this.
And then you eat dinner and you are served on ice. You can get that. If you go to the bar, you're served in ice cups. Like you're.
Right. So even not even putting liquid
twitching.
Into your mouth can be warm. It's got to be.
And then you throw the ice cup on the floor.
Yeah.
You just throw it down.
Because it's just water. Yeah, so Finland's the happiest country. So what is the UN? What are some of the tips the UN gives our nation so that we might advance in the rankings of happiness?
This article was from something called the Conversation, and I thought that it was a fantastic article. The first question to ask when you're feeling sad But I just want to pause and let people sort of think what the first question they might ask might be, which might, I don't know, might be like, how can I be happier? Or what should I do to change my life to be happier? But no, the first thing when you're feeling down and blue is to say, what role does the government play in my happiness? And turns out that governments need to be there for us to make us happy, because Thomas we're Jefferson. Not happy. Thomas Jefferson said, "The care of the human life and happiness is the only legitimate object of good government."
There you go.
And clearly, by that he meant
the government has to do something
to make you happy. They have to make you happy. They don't. He didn't mean that you should be free to pursue your own life.
No.
He meant by that that the government should really think about making you happy.
Emotionally. I mean, emotional happiness.
Is what because, obviously, the only kind of happiness that there is, too, is when you are feeling great. Questions that governments should ask is...
This is according to the UN document,
the right? UN thing. Yeah. Well, or this person. I don't know who... how can governments change the way their citizens feel? That's what this article asks. Ultimately, changes cannot be made without good data. If governments are going to use well-being as a serious measure of success and progress, they need solid evidence of what lies behind people's happiness and misery. To make rational decisions about where to spend finite public funds, they need to know how potential policy changes will affect people's well-being and at what cost. That's fantastic.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the more...
Okay, so the things that cause people to be unhappy, what are some of those things that you might think that would make people unhappy?
Let's see. I don't think I have enough... people regulating my, I mean, telling me what hobbies I should engage in or regulating my diet.
Well, I don't feel exactly equal to every other person.
Oh, right.
In the world.
There are some people who have more.
There are some people who have power, more than me.
Power,
money. Some people are taller than me.
That's not right.
Some people are like better looking than I am.
That's not right either. That's not true.
It's not. Yeah, I was hoping you'd say that's not true, but you just said that's not right.
I meant that's not true. That's what I meant.
Some people have bigger houses.
Again, this is all. These are all these inequalities need to be
better educated than I am.
Right. Okay. Well, then that tells it. So what the government needs to fix that. Is that what this is saying?
And so that's one thing. I don't feel equal. There's also been, for me, of course, an erosion of social trust and increasing isolation. Those are the three things that lead people to be unhappy.
Well, I don't trust people who are better than I am at something or who have more money than I do or who are better looking than I do. So there is the erosion of trust.
Yeah.
I could trust them more if everyone
had... If they
would
give me some of what they have.
Exactly.
And... I should also, I guess, never be allowed to be alone. I think that's another thing. Increasing isolation of Americans.
So we should have a government representative living with us.
Yeah, yes. To make sure that we're happy. So.
A happiness monitor.
A happiness monitor. So our research finds, not mine, this article, that mental illness explains more the variation in happiness than physical illness. So if you're mentally ill, you're going to be unhappier than if you're physically
variation,
ill.
Or you could be really, really super happy. I know some mentally ill people who are quite...
That's true. But happy. If you are unhappy and you're mentally ill and you have depression and anxiety, the best way to treat that is evidence-based psychological therapy, which these people...
Wait, the best way of treating unhappiness is psychological?
No. Mental health problems.
Oh, okay. Right.
That might be true, right. But...
Yeah. Yes.
That's another link you can click, and you can probably spend some money there on that evidence-based psychological right. therapy. I'd just like to know who those people are that are gathering their evidence.
Evidence-based psychological therapy. Okay.
Okay. Then the other very important thing. Much of increasing happiness in adults begins with addressing the needs of children. And we, this article, found that schools and even individual teachers have just as large an effect on the happiness of children as do their families. So schools and governments can and should do a great deal more to ensure that they teach the kind of life, of key life skills and resilience that foster happiness both in childhood and right through to adulthood. So I clicked that link, and it took me to something called positive education.
What's positive education?
I don't know. I read the whole chapter of this strange book, and it never defined positive education, except that.
But the best way for kids to be happy is to be in school all the time and to have a government monitor at the home. Is that right? Is that right?
Well, to yes, and to be learn how to see themselves positively.
That is so huge, right.
Let's see, where was it? Rigorous ongoing evaluation, analyses of effect sizes and intervention duration, cultural adaptation of evidence-based interventions, treatment fidelity wow. measure. These all are the best words for happiness measures. So, what you do is you teach teachers how to be positive and teach children to be positive and not ever stare into the gaping maw of existential dread.
Always look on the bright side of life, then basically.
Must ever do that. Right, right. Yeah. And then there's a list of things that you can do in positive education. You can have children record what went well, where they have to write down three events that went well for them today. They can do a gratitude visit where they write a letter of gratitude and read it to the source. It goes on. There's a long list of things that you have to do in order to produce happiness in children in the school situation. So, and then it goes through and tells how this is going around the world, because this is apparently how children are being.
So really, studies show that the state school is where children learn to be happy.
Well, here's the thing. I think they're not learning to be happy in school, so this is to
make them learn
to be happy.
How can we change our schools so that when we send our unhappy children there, they become happy? Is that
yes?
Because they would be totally unhappy at home with their parents.
Well,
unless the happiness monitor was there from the government, then maybe there might be some happiness
in the school,
in the house.
Oh, right. In the house. So I'm going to link this, of course, because I welcome all readers to read it, because I don't know, reading it made me feel really happy.
You know, I mentioned before we got on the air that this is Plato's Republic, right? This is the Plato had the whole idea of, you have to sever the link between male and female in marriage, so there's no marriage. Men have their own thing, women have their own thing, and they get together to have sex, and then they have babies, and the babies belong to the government, and they're raised by the philosopher king.
The happiness monitor.
Yeah, who teaches them how to inculcate, or who indoctrinates them into the norms and mores of society. So that's great. That's kind of what they're saying, right? You have to have these kids be taught to be satisfied with the things that our culture
requires that they be satisfied with.
Right. Like equality of outcome.
And their gratitude journal. That has always worked for me.
Yeah.
Feeling grateful makes me happy. Yeah.
It's so
soul crushing.
Yes, it's
horrible. It's like everything that actually does make me happy is not in this thing.
I can see like being told we're going to a positive. I mean, as a kid, being told I had to go to a positive school and write gratitude journals and have someone check, I would be miserable. I'd be writing so many horrible things into it.
Yeah, you'd get in trouble though. You'd be sent to the principal and the gratitude or the happiness monitor at the school, and you'd have to have a long conversation about why you're having a bad attitude and you're not being happy. I mean, So you are invited in this to do the same thing that churches do, and they're like,
yeah,
your attitude needs to be good because not Jesus all churches wants do that. No, not all.
But that's
been to a couple that were like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Where's your attitude of gratitude? Jesus wants you for a sunbeam.
I thought you had a little light. Why aren't you letting it shine?
Yeah, why is your light under a bushel? You're like, actually,
because that's right. You know, the Christian church interprets happiness as an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to gin it up, or you're not enjoying the Lord. You're not resting in His.
You're
not content in Jesus.
Right.
His grace is not sufficient for you unless you're happy all the time.
I'm happy all the time. So I read just before this thing about how because fit is the new thin.
What does that mean? What does fit mean? What is fit
meaning
versus thin?
If you're, it's not good enough anymore just to be thin. You also have to be cut.
Oh.
Like.
Just change one letter in that. Fat is the new thin. That would be better.
Yeah, fat is the new thin. But so I read this article since I was going around on these psychology sites, and it said, if you, whenever you say to yourself, if you're feeling unhappy and you look at yourself in the mirror and you think, oh man, I'm fat and my arms are fat and my face is fat. What you need to do then is not go on a diet or anything.
Oh.
Like don't eat different.
You need to develop a better body image, right?
Body image. Yeah. And the way you do that is to say, at the end, whenever you say to yourself, I feel fat or I look fat, and I've been brainwashed to think this way. That's the phrase that you say. I've been brainwashed to think this way. So every time you feel bad about yourself.
Even if you're like really obese and you really should lose weight because you could be sick. I've been indoctrinated to think that this is bad.
No, the word is brainwashed.
Okay. I've been brainwashed to think that this is unhealthy. I really have a great body.
And
is that what you're supposed to say?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, no, I'm not necessarily that I have a great body, but I just need to reject the messages of the culture about what beauty is. And that will also make me happy, because I'm unhappy about the way I look, and I need to feel happy about the way
I look.
It's
a mind game.
And so I...
So it's a little bit like what you do maybe in church when the preacher says, you... are a sinner and you need to repent.
And I've been brainwashed to think
this. Yeah, then you say, I've been brainwashed to think that I'm a sinner. I'm not really a sinner. I'm a good guy. And then you go on and don't listen to the rest.
Yeah, okay. So the great thing about World Happiness Day is that feeling bad about yourself, even legitimately, is going to become against the law. And that's going to be the way that we get rid of Christianity.
Make honest assessments of
who they are. That's right. Going to be bad, and that's going to be the way they get rid of Christians, because
we preach that people are sinners.
Yeah,
and that's injurious. That's
you're hurting me.
You're hurting someone who's working really, really hard to tell themselves that they're not fat, or they're not
spiritually.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think it's fine
to be fat.
Yeah.
But just you don't have to lie about it, though, right? You can say I'm overweight and I'm okay with myself, so. Whatever.
But no. Because the body mass index thing that they developed, that's also a total scam. I can't remember why.
Well, it doesn't work with me because I have these massive muscles that always throw it off.
Sorry.
It tells me I'm fat when I'm not. I mean, because of the massive size of my muscles and the weight.
Are you being serious? Do you know how to do that?
Yeah, I did. I used to be, it always came out, even when I was like the most cut I've ever been, you know, the BMI index always said I was way too fat, because I'm 5'7".
You're a towering figure.
So I should be. So the BMI tells me I should always weigh like 150 or 140, and I was weighing 170, 180.
It's because of your...
Because of my massive muscles. So the BMI thing is a scam. You're right.
Well, how do you feel, though? Do you feel happy?
Now I wish I was... I let me correct myself. I'm I'm great. I'm looking good. I'm awesome looking. When I look in the mirror, I feel an exhilaration of joy. I mean, there's no one that I'd rather look like than myself. What about you? Do you feel the same way?
Yeah.
When you look at me? Or
yeah. I wish I looked like you. Yes. Well, okay. I think we should segue into...
That's why the BMI... Do you use the BMI?
No, I don't. I think it involves math.
It does involve
so
math.
So, no. That right. would be a no. I have no idea.
Right.
But I do know that because I don't look like a 12-year-old girl, that I feel poorly about myself. And I should look very, very thin. And
you told me on, was it Skype or what? On Messenger yesterday that you felt old and large.
Oh, yes. Because I met somebody. I'm used to being the smallest person in the room. And so when somebody's smaller and more beautiful than me, well, okay, I don't always feel like the most beautiful person in the room. They never feel like the most beautiful person in the room, but I always feel like the smallest person in the room because I'm very, very short. But I met somebody who's shorter than I was, and I felt like a huge tree. It was a very uncomfortable feeling.
But I wrote back that you're really
a delicate,
experienced and voluptuous. You're not old and
I'm
fat.
Not old.
You're
and
experiencing.
Tall. So, but I think we should give our own advice for how to be happy.
Okay. What would you start? Maybe you should start with that because I haven't.
you don't have like three ways. Well, the UN is offering income equality, equality of outcome, having a teacher who does positive education with you.
But what are you going to do if you don't have any of that?
Yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, man?
How do you...
How can you be happy? How can you be happy? Because it is the most important thing. If you are experiencing unhappiness and sadness, that is morally bad. And you need to stop.
Repent. Repent of your unhappiness.
And begin to experience and feel happiness.
Trust in your own self-image.
Yeah, get rid of your negative...
Rest in the words that you tell yourself looking in the mirror.
Rest. Okay, that's two. What's the third one?
Oh, we listing things to do to be happy?
No, I think we should list real things.
Okay, well then you go first. You give me your first thing to be happy. I don't... Because you... I mean, if I were thinking in a vacuum... Mm. Who would I go to?
To learn about happiness.
To learn about happiness. I would think, well, my wife. I mean, she's always happy, so I would go to you and ask.
Yeah. I kind of don't have anything.
I think of the two of us, I think I'm probably the happier person.
Yeah, you are. That's what I was hoping you'd give, like, three ways to be happy.
Well,
you're not that happy, though.
I mean, don't...
Oh, yeah, that's one way that you're happy.
I can sit there in the room and read a book.
Don't engage in reality.
Everybody's panicking around me and the world is crashing, but I'm so focused on my book that I don't notice it, so I'm happy. And then you get angry with me and yell at me, and then I become unhappy. So the first tip is, as long as you
get
can possibly
get rid of your wife.
Read your book or put your earphones in.
And
sink into the hole of your own consciousness. And think through things really deeply, alone in a room.
With no one. Particularly right. Not a wife and children. Right. Because both of those things cause unhappiness. The right. Wife and the children.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, no, because I would say that I was probably less happy before I got married. Because I didn't have the foil. Like, now I have the...
Oh, now you have the unhappiness so that you... You know that
well, now I know I can shield myself. I mean, I have the life and the gaiety, and the chaos going on around me, but then I can recede into a bit of peace and quiet
within yourself.
And so that contrast provides
the happiness.
Happiness, because I can look outside and know things are going on. Whereas if I'm just alone in my apartment without anybody around me,
yeah, the existential
if you feel isolated
crisis,
and alienated,
yeah.
But if I'm able to if I'm able to completely alienate myself around other people.
That's what makes you happy.
That's better. Because, you know, like we can sit and watch TV together, or we can sit and, mm-hmm. and be on our independent devices.
Yeah. Well, that makes me happy.
That makes me happy.
When we're in a room with 20 people and everybody is on their phone. I mean, and my favorite thing is when the two of us sit together and we both are watching a separate movie with our headphones in.
That, but we're together. I feel together. Super close to you when
I do, because I don't want to watch your movie at all.
You don't want to watch a movie I want to watch, so that's the only way you can watch
a movie. The only way that we can watch movies
together is to watch movies separately.
Well, this is one of my anxieties about heaven, is because one reason why, I've mentioned this before, that light is so nice is because of the contrast of the darkness. And so when it says, in him there is no darkness at all, that really stresses me out.
See, this is why I don't understand you at all. I hate darkness. I hate every kind of darkness. I hate the dark. I hate nighttime. This is why I was so I'm so angry about daylight savings time. I'm not sure where we're in right now. Are we in daylight
savings? We're in daylight savings.
I am so angry about the time change that's coming up in November. And I the New York State better change it so it doesn't go back to that horrible, awful time when it's 4:30 and it's dark, like midnight.
So when that, like, person to the left of Andrew Cuomo runs and, like, is full-on communist, mm-hmm. are you going to vote for her if she offers not to go back yep. to the regular time?
Go right down there and vote for her. I'll campaign for her.
That's awesome. Yeah. Speaking of totalitarianism, when she wins...
If she changes the time, I don't care.
We're going to have our happiness monitor.
And our positive schooling.
Positive education.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, I would be happy in heaven. You would be
I'm
unhappy.
I'm probably going to be unhappy in heaven because of there being no darkness at all.
See, he's the light of the city of God.
Okay, the one reason why.
And it's gold streets. I love gold. I love gold.
It's going to be like Liberace. It's so stressful. I don't want the.
Well, there's gates the gold
are
will
made
be...
of a whole. One single gem is gonna be pearl. So it's a pearl. Gaudy.
That will be the pearl will offset
the gold.
The gold. It'll be nice.
Yeah, but those two things don't go well.
It's white and gold. They go perfectly well.
It's gonna be.
And then the light shining off all the gold streets.
I'm gonna be like.
And then that big river running down the street in the middle of it with trees on either side.
Which also seems stressful. Do people fall in the river?
I don't think you can die in the city of God.
I'm going to be crouched in a corner, shivering because of all the light,
the color
and the light, and the singing.
I've been wanting to put gold plate or gold, what do you call it?
You wanted to gold our dining room, put gold leaf over the dining room.
I think it'd be awesome.
Which would be so awful. Speaking of unhappiness. So one reason why I'm not happy is because I never, ever, ever can sink into a space within myself. I'm always perfectly present in reality. I never escape reality as it's going on around me.
What can we do to keep you from...
So I'm always in the moment. I'm always present.
And I notice that it frustrates you when I'm not present with you.
Yeah.
Which I'm saying you should sink into. He should figure out how to do this. How to defect in place from reality.
Is it from reality, not just the dysfunction?
My job requires it. I have to study, so my job requires that I defect in space from reality and read a book really closely.
I love how the way you said that implies that I don't have to think.
Well, you blog.
I. Okay, shut up. Some people feel like my blogging has some depth.
You do think, sweetheart.
Well, thanks for that. So you don't have any, like, actual tips for happiness?
Yeah, another tip I have is go to church.
Yeah, this was...
Go to church.
But the problem with church is that when you go there, people make you unhappy.
No, it's actually see, what happens over time is that you become happier. And then, more importantly, your pastor is happier. And doesn't come home every Sunday morning and frustratingly throw things around the room and be angry because people who could very well go to church decided not to because they were busy or tired or the time change, or
it was St. Patrick's Day.
It's St. Patrick's. That just drives me up the wall. Go to church and you'll be happy.
That's just not true, though.
It is true. It is. You don't have you get. God feeds you with the scriptures. You get communion. You get to eat.
But none of that translates to any
split
feelings.
Pea soup after church, like we had on Sunday.
Yeah, that was delicious.
Yeah. Free food, free friends. I mean, you don't have to buy them or hook up with them on Facebook. They're right there, and they have to be your friends because they're in Jesus, and you are too. So it's like a free family. It's like when Peter asked Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. What will we get? And Jesus said, well, everyone who's left a family or a house or a dog or whatever on my account, he will receive 100-fold in return in this life and in the life to come. And in this life, he was talking about the church. You get 100 friends if you lost one for Jesus, and they're all right there at Good Shepherd. 120, 30, 40. We have 140 regular participants in our congregation. How many people were there yesterday? 111. Right. So that says
that's like the
30
whole 8
something
o'clock.
People were gone yesterday.
Yeah.
The day after St. Patrick's Day.
But it was the same the week before.
Well, that was the day the time changed. Right. That was even worse. We almost lost half our congregation that day.
Yeah, that's true.
Come to church. You're commanded by Jesus.
I don't feel happy
in
church.
I don't care.
Like, I don't feel the emotion of happiness in church.
I don't care.
Sometimes
it's not about you.
Sad and stressed and angry.
I know. You come home from church sometimes and you're upset because I don't know why.
Well, one reason why I'm upset, I'm going to go ahead and say it on the internet, is because I make coffee for the whole church, and the coffee was moved out of the bright kitchen, which is sort of painted this beautiful red color, into a gray closet that feels like a prison. And it's separated from everything. And I have to go into this gray closet and make coffee for the whole church.
Well, people thought it was better for visitors not to see you.
I know.
We didn't want anyone to be.
I know. Somebody thought it would be convenient or something. But then the closet was painted gray because our church is now painted like 10 colors of gray. I'm not going to say
50 shades of gray. Well, gray is the new.
Gray is the new
color,
white,
think, isn't it? Yeah, people like it. So,
but in the closet, without good lighting, it actually doesn't look like. It looks like a shade of gray.
Why don't you bring in a nice lamp, with a nice light?
Maybe I should make over the coffee, like cover the walls with pictures and stuff
for you.
Yeah, maybe I should do that.
I know when I come down from the 8 o'clock service, people are always in there talking to you. I mean, they're not. They do
well,
come in to visit you.
Well, sometimes people come in, like sneak in, and they have to come into the closet
and try to lighten your darkness.
I just want to come out of the closet. I find it very difficult to go in there and make the coffee psychologically.
Well, and also
it makes me feel unhappy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a big source of my. That's the thing, though. I don't want to feel happy a lot. Like,
I've noticed that in many ways.
I prefer to feel sad and irritated. Those are my emotions of preference. So when our happiness monitor moves in here, it's going to be really tough for me. Because I don't even want to feel happy all the time. That's really flat and annoying.
I kind of like happiness.
I know you do. But like, if you don't feel sad, you can't write things.
That's a very Taoist way of thinking. Oh, you can't write things. Okay, yeah.
Like,
I thought you were going to say, if you don't feel sad, you won't know what happiness is.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, like, the best writing and furniture rearranging happens from places of despair.
The best writing and furniture rearranging?
Yeah. Those are the two things I do.
Oh.
Like, doing laundry, it's best to do laundry when you're filled with, like, rage, and that's good laundry. That's like really well done laundry. And if you have to have a happiness monitor, I don't know, it's really flat. Like, I like the full range of human emotion that goes on.
You're gonna be, you are gonna hate heaven, because there's gonna be no more sorrow or suffering or pain. There'll only be joy. And every tear is gonna be wiped away from your eyes.
Oh man.
And it's gonna be light all the time, and the golden streets and the big huge pearls
that gates are carved into. I'm gonna be miserable in heaven. I hope it's all metaphorical.
I'm pretty sure. I know that people say that, but, you know, we saw lots of things in the Old Testament that people thought, oh, that's a metaphor.
That's never going to happen.
Like the sun going dark at noon.
And the refiner's fire coming into the temple and, like, pushing everybody out.
Yeah, but that actually happened.
No, I think we need to redo our understanding of happiness, you know, because here we are, we're talking about heaven, we're talking about a future happiness that we would look forward to in another, you know, like we just have to kind of get through life as best we can, and then we get to be in heaven. But the happiness monitor, you know, like, you need to be happy now. You know, right. This is heaven. Your positive education is heaven.
That will make you...
This is great right now. You be happy.
Everything you see is wonderful.
Yes. Just like in Finland. That's like... When you think of heaven, again, you don't think of a beach. You think of an ice hotel. Like Dante's lowest level of hell. That's heavenly. So, yeah. I'm excited for the UN to, like, bring about world happiness.
Yeah, it's so we don't have to worry about you. If they do it, then you don't have to worry about heaven.
I know. I won't have to go. I won't have to face the golden streets.
They will have brought heaven down here.
Yeah, and I will be good. And then I can live forever in my CGI body.
Oh, right. They'll give you, because pretty soon we're going to have all replaceable parts. We can download your...
My mind into a computer and I'll go on forever. I'll never die.
Right.
All the things that I need to be happy will be right here.
I can't think of a better world.
Yes. Was there anything else you wanted to say about happiness?
I just come to church.
Oh, that's the only way to be happy.
Yes, I'm
the
really
only way to be happy
about attendance.
Is to come to church.
Yeah,
you cannot be happy if you go somewhere else on Sunday morning, like on a trip
or wherever, or just stay home. I mean, it's
or stay home.
Yeah,
or be ill. Okay, if you're sick,
come and sit in the back.
No. If you're sick, don't come to church.
Send a proxy. You need a proxy. You need to find a proxy attender. Mm-hmm. So if you're sick, someone to come to Good Shepherd and fill your role.
You know, it would be really great if we had a happiness monitor, though, in our house, that we would take them to church. Would there be a line of happiness monitors from the UN in the back of Good Shepherd?
We would double our attendance. We would get, yeah, we'd get 120 people on a Sunday morning, but if everyone had to have a happiness monitor, we would get 240.
Yeah. But then they would shut the church down because of all the times we're telling people that they're not.
Right.
It's not good for them to be happy right now.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, okay, our only tip is to go to church.
And isolate yourself within a community.
And my tip is that happiness is overrated, so don't even bother. That's my...
Doesn't the Bible teach that this life is like preparation for heaven? Like, you're supposed to be training your mind and your body for the heavenly delights. And you're just not getting with the program. You're not getting with the regimen. You are going to be a miserable person in heaven.
I know. I guess I could work on that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would do that, though. I think that thinking about it and being stressed out is probably the chief way, though.
What do you need to change about your life now so that you'll be happy when you go to heaven? What are the five steps that we can give people?
You'll never guess which one is first.
Go to church.
Go to church. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the only one.
That's
go to church.
Exactly.
If you want to get ready to go to heaven, because
is heaven. It's the outpost of the kingdom of God. There you are. You got all your people with you. You're going to be with forever. You got Jesus, who's going to be with forever.
I can understand why so few people go.
You're not talking about Good Shepherd, are you?
No. I'm not. I'm talking about other churches. Yeah. Do you have any home updates? We totally blew over
our format.
We couldn't find any videos this week because people were not, they didn't say controversial things on the internet in video form. Although I did watch a video of a man teaching his cats to go on a walk.
A Japanese man.
Yeah, and I did feel like that is, he did seem happy. Like, I think the UN would be happy with him. But I also felt like tragically sad.
He has two cats. I mean, the UN would be happy because he's not.
Yeah, his carbon footprint is really small.
Right, right.
And he seemed cheerful. He's teaching his cats to shake hands with him and go on walks. And
I bet his cats are fixed, so they don't have other kittens.
Yeah. So, and then the other thing I thought that was like a good indicator of the happiness of the world is that Toys R Us is closing forever.
Yeah.
And one reason, there's no babies. There's not enough babies. And surprisingly, I didn't know this, Toys R Us contributed to Planned Parenthood over the years.
So they pour money into the organization that's killing off their customer
base. Their own customer base. Like, they have to close because there's
literally... They've murdered all the children.
They've murdered
all the children. It's not funny, but that's what they've done.
I'm
very happy.
Good luck to them. Yep. May they close. I didn't know that they contributed, or I would not have probably shopped. I know everybody.
I mean, who knows that who knew that song, "I Don't Want to Grow Up, I'm a Toys R Us Kid," was really...
I don't even want to be born.
Yeah, it was... I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us Kid.
What's the next line?
I don't know, but that's all I remember. And that...
Yep.
A real reflection of reality there.
And those kids were happy.
Yeah, well, now they are. They're in heaven, but... Toys R Us, good. Good riddance. I'm glad that they destroyed themselves with their support of Planned Parenthood.
I mean, they could have stopped supporting Planned Parenthood, and then they could have sold toys to children.
Right.
To make them happy.
Yeah.
No.
Toys don't make children happy. It's positive education.
It's positive, and the UN Happiness Monitor. Well, I look forward to our overlords coming in. And I'm sure that we will be posting on social media about how it goes when that person moves into this house.
Yes.
Because our lives will be online through video monitoring.
Right.
And so you won't miss anything.
Right. It'll be like a reality TV.
A reality TV. Yeah. But until then, have a good week.